glory. Well, last week we were in Romans chapters 1 or chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, and we're going to go back into that area today. And hopefully get into down to verse 5. But we talked last week about, let's just read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is out of the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies as a living sacrifice. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And then verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So we talked about what it means that when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, when you make a decision to be a follower of Christ, we talked about the first thing that happens to you once you do that is, number one, your sins are forgiven, and number two, he takes out of you your current nature, your heart that is stony, we read out of Isaiah where it talks about, I'll take out of you your stony heart, and I'll replace it with a tender heart. He replaces our heart or our spirit with his spirit. So when we make a decision for Christ, the part of us that we inherited from Satan, basically, that cursed soul, evil nature that we're born with, is replaced by a spirit that is God's spirit. He can't dwell. Pastor talked about this in the earlier service. He can't dwell within us if we're still in our original nature, which is, of course, with an evil spirit. So he takes out that spirit and he replaces it with his spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us when we make that decision. So that's taken care of. But we're a three-part being, right? We talked about we are not just a spirit, but we also have a body, which is our flesh. And along with our flesh comes desires, and things that, the desire to sleep late, the desire to overeat, the desire to satisfy the needs or the desires of the flesh, right? And then you have our soul, we have the body and then we have our soul. Our soul is our mind. Our soul is our thoughts. Our soul is our emotions. Those are the things that encompass our soul. So we have three parts. The spirit, which God took care of when we became his, and the body, and then the spirit, and the soul. And in chapter 1, it's talking about the body. Bring your body and create and make it a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And then in the verse 2, it says, now that you've done that part, let's talk about your mind. We need to renew our mind. So don't copy the behaviors and the custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. He wants, and we talked about this again in the earlier service, he wants you to come up to his way of thinking. And so we didn't get a chance to really spend a lot of time on that. We're going to touch on it again before we go on today. But that's where we kind of left off. We need to be renewing our mind. Our body, we have to cause it to come under. We have to reign in our body. But then additionally, we have to do the same for our mind. I shared too, and I don't know if I shared it last week or I've shared it before, I know, that when I have thoughts that come into my brain that I don't like, I know that they're not godly, I will physically do something to make my thinking, it'll make my brain stop thinking that way. It's like if I'm in the car, I used to spend a lot of time in the car and I'd be driving down the road and my brain would go, because you're spending a lot of time in the car and your brain wanders and you got all kinds of thoughts, and some of those thoughts aren't good. I'm either thinking about my past, something I did in my past, and I'm like, ooh, I don't want to think about that. And I'll either shake my head or I'll change the radio station. Or I'll turn on the radio. Something that feels like it's changing. But that's not enough. I can't just do something on the exterior like that. I have to be doing something on the internal. I have to be doing something that causes me to change my way of thinking. Changing the radio station or just shaking my head is not enough. It doesn't work that way. I have to do something to create a new way of thinking in me. And so, I was watching a video yesterday, day before, sometime recently, and this man was talking about how he was hammering a nail. And as he was hammering the nail, he hit his thumb. You know what's going to happen. If somebody's talking about how they were hammering a nail or they were using a hammer, it's going to happen where they're going to hit their thumb. And so, or their finger or something. And he did. He smashed it good. And he immediately, just all kinds of blah, blah, words came out of his mouth that we cannot talk about in church. And so, you know, but you can imagine what came out of his mouth. And he immediately went under conviction because he's a Christian. He thought, oh, I shouldn't, that was wrong. You know, so now he's got a heart condition and a thumb condition because his thumb is still throbbing. And at the same time, he's under conviction in his heart that he shouldn't have let those words fly like that. And the Lord dealt with him right then and there. And he said, what's inside of you comes out of you. What you spend a lot of time with comes out of you. That's what the first thing that rises up. We've talked about this illustration. We've talked about a sponge before. If you spill Coke on the counter and you wipe it up with a sponge and you go to wring out that sponge or put pressure on that sponge, what comes out? The Coke that you just filled up on, right? And so he realized as he started looking at his life, he's thinking, well, I don't fill up on a bunch of nonsense. Well, then he got to thinking about the show he had watched recently or the people he was hanging around with, and suddenly he realized, well, I guess I do fill up on things that are not godly. And so he decided he needed to make a change. And so he started spending time with the Lord. He started working on his fellowship with Jesus. He started spending time, you know, with God. And when he did, he said, you know what happened again? He said, I was out there. He said, I don't know what he does for a living, but apparently he uses a hammer a lot in his life. And so he smashed his finger. He said it was just healing too. And he said, so it wasn't quite healed and it was still already, you know, still tender in some ways. And he said, and I slammed it again. And he said, this time the words that came out of my mouth is, you will be healed in Jesus' name. And he said, I didn't even think about it. He said, that was just the first thing that came out of my mouth. And he said, I realized what I had been filling up on was totally different from what I had been filling up on the first time. And he said, you know, my thumb, after hitting it a second time, healed like within days. It was completely gone. And he said, and I had broken it back open, and, you know, because he had busted it up pretty good. At any rate, glory to God, we need to be filling up on the things of God. And when we do, it causes us to renew our mind, and the thoughts and the things that we once thought will be replaced with God's thoughts. So let's go on. Glory. You know, first of all, he is the head and we are his body. So the reasons that we're talking about this and how we need to bring ourselves under is so that we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Jesus is the head. When we become a new Christian, when we become someone who is following Christ, that means that we become a part of his body. And as a part of his body, we need to then put ourselves in a position where we're able to listen and walk and talk and say and do all the things that he tells us to do. And he has our best interest at heart. What he wants for us is perfect. What we choose for ourselves is often not perfect, not even in the slightest. What we allow if we allow our thoughts to control us, if we allow our fleshly desires to control us, we're not going to be doing the will of God. Because those things have not been made new in Christ. And not at this point. We have to make them new in Christ. So, let's keep going. Most of the time, as a result, we need to renew our minds so that we can have God's perfect will for us. We didn't get very far. Oh, never mind. I've had a lot of people tell me, recently, someone who said, well, we can't know what God wants. We can't have his thoughts. The Word of God says in Isaiah, and you can put this up, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, in the New Living, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My thoughts are far beyond anything you can imagine. And verse 9, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So I can see why people think that we can't have God's thoughts. Because it says right there that it's beyond our imagination, anything we can imagine. So we think in our simple little brains that we can't come up to God's way of thinking. So I can fully understand. But you know what? This was written at a time where they didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. For how many years? 4,000 years. The relationship between God and people was external. It wasn't internal like it is with us. And so we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, and we're going to read down through verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, or verse 10. I'm sorry, let me say it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. But remember, who is it that lives and dwells within you now? God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. We can know the thoughts of God because His Spirit dwells within us. And like you said, you can't know. I don't know what Judy's thinking. She's probably over there thinking, you know, I'm really hungry. I should have had that donut. If Pastor hadn't ran long in the earlier service, I wouldn't have had to practice the music so late, and I could have gone downstairs and had a donut. But instead, I had to be up here, and I had to do these things, and now I'm really hungry, and I really hope that she doesn't run long because that's going to keep me from my dinner. That might be what she's thinking. Or she could be thinking, man, I really like her shoes. And that's what it was, apparently. I knew if I kept guessing, it would come out. No, the thing is I can't know for sure without talking to her what she's thinking in that moment. But the thing of it, you know, because we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we can know what God is thinking. Well, it goes on in verse 13. It says, when we tell you these things, we don't use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit, and it all sounds foolish to them. They can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. And then in verse 15, it says, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? And the last part says, but we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. But you have to develop that. Again, your mind is renewed through your relationship with Christ, not through, God doesn't just drop it. He fills you with the Holy Spirit. You have to commune with the Holy Spirit to have those thoughts. He just can't force it upon you. And so you have got to do something. So I can have God's thoughts, but only if I'm attached to the head. If I'm not attached to the head, which is Christ, then I'm not going to know His thoughts. Even if the Holy Spirit's dwelling within me, but I'm doing my own thing, you know, then I am, if I'm not attached and connected to that head, I'm not going to know. Have you seen a chicken? We talked about this last night. You've seen a chicken without its head. They flop around all over the place. They don't know where they're going. They don't know which way is up. They don't know how to respond because the head has been severed from the body. And so when you are not connected, attached to the head, listening and following what it says, you're going to flop around like a chicken. And I can tell you that. I've seen my life without being connected to the head. I still had the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. I wasn't listening to anything it said. I wasn't listening to anything he said. I listened in the first service. At any rate, you know, if I am not attuned to the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to flop around like a chicken in life. My life is going to look like I have flopped around in it too. I mean, I will be able to look back and see the residual effects of my life without the Christ being the head over me. I will leave all kinds of pain and have all kinds of scars and torment from a life like that. And I do. I have. I don't live in those places, thank the Lord. My past is in my past, and they don't define who I am today. Glory to God. But you don't have to live like that. We don't have to live like that. We don't have to have those things in our lives if we stay connected and attached to the head. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a lot of time left. You know, the rapture is soon. I'm here. If you haven't heard it before, and I know you have, it is soon. And our window of time is very brief. We don't have time to mess this up. It's time to stay and be connected to the head. And if you don't know how, we're going to talk about how. That's the good news. In Psalms chapter 25, verse 4, this is the New King James Version, it says, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. You can know the ways of God. You can know His paths. You just pray this prayer. It is it's not even two sentences on the screen. It's separated with a semicolon, which means it's two sentences put into one. Glory to God. And so it's not a lot of words. It's really short. And the thing is that when you start to ask the Lord to show you his ways and teach you his paths, he will guide you. He will lead you. He'll take it seriously. You need to pray this short little prayer. It doesn't take any time at all. You can do it any time of the day. You can put this on a piece of paper in your pocket if you don't remember it and pull it out and say it. And God will show you and lead you according to his ways. And until you have the mind of Christ, you're not going to fulfill what is destined for your life. Whether it is running into someone at the grocery store or whether it is the big picture, which is the calling over your life. All those things will not be accomplished if you are not renewing your mind to Christ. Until you are renewing your mind to God's thoughts, you're never going to go beyond what your current imagination can fulfill. Pastor talked about it in the first service, that if we're small thinkers, we're never going to achieve the big things that God has for us. We have got to start thinking God's thoughts. We got to be, you know, it told us back there in Isaiah, it said that his thoughts, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. So if it's beyond your imagination right now, and you start thinking God's ways, boy, oh boy, things are going to change. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We need to have his ways, his thoughts, and when we do, imagine, well, you can't right now, but imagine what you could do. What would happen in your life? How many things would change? You know, I look back on my life when I was a chicken flopping around, and I can see I'm not that person. I'm so far from that person that person is unrecognizable to me. That time period in my life looks like I was just a spectator of something. Like I watched it on TV. It was like a TV show. You know, it didn't happen to me. You know, that's how it seems to me because I'm so far separated. I've come so far since then. My life has changed so dramatically beyond my own imagination because I asked God to give me his thoughts. I asked God to show me his ways, and I wanted to come up to his way of thinking, and glory to God, I am so glad. There is never a point in my life where I've regretted that decision. There's never been a point in my life where I've said, boy, if I just hadn't told God I want his ways instead of my ways, what then? I have no desire to ever go back to that life. There's nothing in that life that entices me in any way, shape, or form. And it's because I have so much better. I have it so much higher. I have so much deeper. Everything. Everything is so much different. All right, so if you want greater than your imagination, then you need to start renewing your mind to the one whose imagination exceeds yours. Amen? Let's go on. Let's go into Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, actually we'll read 4 and 5. I'm going to break this out a little bit. It says, just as your body has many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. So you are the body of Christ. He is the head. You are the body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Oh, you guys are stuck with me. It says it right there. I belong to you, and you belong to me. There is no getting away from it. So we're part of a bigger body. It's not just me and me alone. It's not just me and Jesus, and that's it. We are a part of the body of Christ, the bigger picture. And so if we don't surrender our bodies and our minds to that of Christ, then we're not going to have impact in the whole body. So it's imperative that we renew our minds and we renew our bodies, and we call our bodies under, and so that it comes and joins with the body of Christ to achieve all that he has. Otherwise, we're just kind of out there on our own, again, flopping around with a chicken, like a chicken with her head off. And so unless we bring those things together, we're not going to have impact on the body as a whole. We are joined with the rest of the body of Christ, working together to bring about a common goal, to work alongside God, fulfilling the plan and the purpose of the church on earth. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, that last part there in the King James Version says, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Now, let's break this down. You know I like to break things down. So that part there says, we, being many, means all together and in a common place. And then it says, are one body, which means as a sound whole, used in a very wide application, both literally and figuratively. And then again here, we talked about this one other time, in. It says, we are one body in Christ. That word in, it is so powerful. It is so packed. And it's hard to believe that two-letter word right there can mean so much. But the word in means to be about, or to be after, or to be against altogether, and to give yourself wholly for the sake of. And it trails off because, of course, we have to figure out what we're to be, what are we to be in a fixed position altogether, giving ourselves wholly for the sake of. Well, it tells us right there. What's the word after? In Christ. We are to be in a fixed position, all together, giving ourselves wholly to, giving ourselves wholly to for the sake of Christ. This isn't about me. This isn't about my life here. My hair keeps getting caught in this. It's not about what I want here in this life. Everything that I am here for, if you are wanting the meaning of life, we talked about this last week, it's this right here, that we are to be joined together with the body of Christ with one common goal, which is to bring about whatever Christ wants in the earth. That's our connection. That's the meaning of life. So we are in Christ, and that means that we are to be in Christ. It means to give yourself wholly in a fixed position and also all together, body, soul, and spirit. So those three together, but also along with each other as part of the body of Christ. If we're not wholly given in body, soul, and spirit, then we are not only letting ourselves down and letting Christ down or God down, we are also letting down the entire body of Christ. So let's look at that same section of Scripture now in the Message Bible. And it actually goes through verse 6 in the Message, if you'll put it up for me. It says, in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and our function as part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. It's time we are just who we're called to be, the part of the body of Christ. I told you last week that we are looking for without the head and without each other, we cannot be what we were made to be, the body. There is another reason why it's so important to come together. We talk about this, you know, in this morning service during the School of Spirit, Pastor read a passage that talks about what happens when we all come together corporately as the body of Christ. There's something that we can share with each other that God has for each one of us. And so we had a time of that. We had a time at the end of that service where we got from, you know, what God placed into different ones, it came forth for the body. The thing is that unless we come together in fellowship with each other, then we're not going to function as the body. It is not by accident that we have, and I don't have my bulletin up here, that we have connection groups. It's not by accident that we have game night. It's not by accident that we have an 11 to 11:30 time of fellowship with donuts and coffee. Those times are to be about coming together as the body. You know, we think sometimes about how we'd rather be somewhere else, you know, sometimes. You know, well, I got things to do. I'm too tired. I just want to stay home and rest, and I just don't want to go. When you are not a part or doing your part or being in your place, bringing your supply, whether it be at a fellowship time or whether it to be in these services, you are you are hindering the body of Christ. And I'm not trying to tell you need to be at all the things. I'm saying that you should make it a priority to be in fellowship with one another. The word tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and those things are true. God just didn't throw that in there because he wants us to all come together and have a reunion every Sunday. He wants us together as often as possible because we are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we don't want to be all separated and floundering around on our own with a chicken with our head cut off. We need to be together. If you have ever been, let me read this to you out of the Amplified Classic, Romans chapter 12, verse 5 in Amplified. It says, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, Christ being the Messiah, and individually we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on one another. So we have to come together because we should be dependent on one another, because guess what? Ricky's going to have something I need. Miss B's going to have something that Judy needs. And Marcus is going to have something that Linda needs. I mean, there are things about the body of Christ that God has made perfectly in order to bring us together to complete his plan. And unless we come together, we're not going to know that. Put it up in the Passion Translation, if you would, Debbie. And so it is in the body of Christ, for though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined. In my notes, that's in capital letters. Vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. If you are not coming together as the body of Christ, you're missing parts of yourself. And the thing is the body of Christ is missing you. And you know, we sometimes think, well, I'm good, I don't need that. I can get by a few more days. I won't go to midweek service this week, or I won't go to the fellowship, or we won't go to Clay City, or whatever the plan is, whatever the thing is that you are abstaining from, the body is missing you when you're not there. Just think, have you ever been in a place, and some of us have you know, I was just having conversations, I know some of us have been there, you know, where, you know, your knee gives out suddenly. And when you're walking along and all of a sudden your knee just goes and here you are. And you may be picking yourself up off the floor. You're kind of like, well, what's wrong with you? What's that all about? You know, and you do this whole thing. Or maybe, you know, maybe you'd have your eye is suddenly clouded over with a cataract. I know some of you have had cataract surgeries and such. And so when that happens, you're not seeing the whole picture. And so a part of you, you know, you notice when those things happen. And, you know, maybe you've had carpal tunnel syndrome. Has anyone ever had that? Where you have numbness in your fingers and they won't work like you want them to. And you're thinking, what is going on? You know, and so, you know, we've all had things like that. And that's kind of like what it is with the body when you're not doing your part, when you're not in your position, when you're not in that fixed position, mutually working together, dependent on one another to complete the task. You're dragging that leg, like along like this. You cannot perform at an optimal performance when you're missing parts or when part of your body's not functioning like it should. It just can't. We've all been there. We cannot do the things that we could do if every single part of our body was functioning right. If we didn't have the knee given out on us all the time, or being in pain, or whatever the case, or the hip, or the cataract, or the carpal tunnel, or the whatever it is. If we have all the body parts working together, we can do so much more, right? When your hip's not bothering you, you can actually do the vacuuming. When your knee's not going out, you can actually climb stairs. You know, you can't do those things when those things are gimping along or not showing up. You need all your parts to show up. And the body of Christ needs all its parts to show up. And if we're not showing up and doing what we're supposed to be doing, whether it's, you know, in the church or outside the walls of the church, wherever it is, then we're not fulfilling the call that God has on your life. We're not fulfilling the call that he has for the body of Christ in the world. The thing is the world needs us. The world needs us to be the body of Christ. Because as I mentioned before, we're getting to a point in time where the rapture is so near. And if we are not doing and being the body of Christ, and we're not showing up for them, then who is? And you know, that's the thing is that God, you know, we pray the prayer, you know, that God will send laborers and workers into the lives or the paths of people who are lost. You are the laborer and the worker. Glory to God. And the thing of it is that if you're not listening, if you're not connected to the head, and you're flopping around over here with the chicken with your head cut off, you're not going to help the person who needs the help right then. You're not going to be in the place that you're supposed to be to talk to and speak to. And sometimes, I'm not saying that you got to be witnessing to every single person that comes in your path. Sometimes it's just being out of, just talking to them out of love, or just, you know, noticing them, or just saying to them, hey, I really like your shoes. I hope you like my shoes, Judy. I can hook you up. But we have to be doing what, you know, we have to be Christ in the earth. And he's the head, and as the body, we're the ones who's in the earth. I mean, he's here with us. He's within us. But we have got to be showing forth love. We got to be praying for people who need it. We got to be praying for the lost. We have to get the lost saved. We need to be bringing people to church. We need to be bringing people into the fold, into the body of Christ, because when the rapture comes, the body of Christ isn't going to be here. And then what? And we are not, none of us, we all have people. We all know people in our lives who are not there. They haven't been born again. They're not living like they should. And yet we love them. And we love them deeply. And we don't want to see them here in those. You know, the truth is they may not be here when we come back after 7 years. And how would that feel? Glory to God. Let's move on. Imagine what we can do for the world. Imagine what we can do when we're all hooked up in agreement, fulfilling the call of God for the body of Christ. Imagine what a world we'd be living in. I talked about this last time. You know, if we were all doing what we were supposed to be doing, if we were all hooked up and sold out for Christ. You know, well, let me go back and reread that one section where it says, we being many all together, and in a common place, and I'm not talking about a building, I'm talking about in a common goal, where we're all united, one body as a sound whole, used in a very wide application, in a fixed position, in, again, so big and so powerful for such a small world, to be about or after and giving ourselves wholly for the sake of Christ. When we are in that spot, it's unlimited the things that we can accomplish for Christ. People that you never knew or never thought in a million years could ever come to know Christ, or their lives are so far the other way, you could have an impact on. And you don't realize it, because so often we're not even aware that people are watching us. But when we're sold out for Jesus, if they're watching us, they're going to see Christ in us. It's not going to be, well, you caught me on a bad day. You know, it was Monday. I hate Mondays. I was grouchy. I had gone through the drive-thru and they got my order wrong. So you just caught me at a bad time. Well, that's the time they're looking at you. They're looking at you when you're nailing your finger with a hammer. And what comes out of your mouth makes an impact. But when you're sold out and renewed, you've renewed your mind and you're sold out for Christ, then your response is going to hook up with his responses, and the way that you handle situations and the way you look on a Monday after the drive-thru got your order wrong is going to make an impact in their lives, even if you don't think that it will. You're going to impact the world just by being sold out to Jesus without having to say a word. That's the thing, is that so much of what, when we are in that place and we're walking that way and we're listening to him, we don't have to exert ourselves to look good in front of somebody else. It just happens naturally. Our lives will start to demonstrate Christ in us without us even having to try, except for building our relationship with Christ. You know, when you spend time with him, you will start to look like him. You'll start to smell like him. You'll start to act like him. You know, Pastor talked about how close he is to his Uncle Bill, and you all haven't seen Uncle Bill a lot. He's been here a couple of times, I think only once to minister, but they've been here for a service maybe another time. You haven't spent a lot of time around Uncle Bill. I have. And I see things in my husband that he gets from Uncle Bill. And I'm not talking about because they're related. I'm talking about, you know, the way they minister those things, because he has spent time with him. He spent a lot of time. He still spends a lot of time with him. And because of that, you start to see some of those mannerisms. You start to see some of those things. Well, guess what? You spend a lot of time with God, and you're going to start seeing him in your life. Other people will see him in your life. Other people will see character, the character of God in your life. The way you talk, the way you won't talk bad about somebody. gossip will stop like that. And you know, you don't always realize what gossip is until you're doing it, and the conviction of the Lord comes on you. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have been doing that. We often think of gossip as like, you know, the busybodies who listened in on telephone calls when they had party lines, or, you know, those sorts of things, or at the hairdresser when they're talking about all these people. You know, that kid he went to school with, remember him? You know how he was? You know, that is what we often think of as gossip. But the thing of it is, talking about anything that you can't physically change is gossip. If you, talking about it makes no difference in the situation, then it's gossip. And so often, we might be telling the truth, and we may know it for a fact, but if we're talking about it, and we can't, our talking about it is not going to change the outcome, then, or if it makes it worse, which it often does, then it's gossip. I don't have to explain what gossip is to you. I'm telling you that those things will stop in your life. The things, the mistakes, the ways, the paths, the people you start hanging out with, all those things will change for the better. And you'll look back on yourself like I do, and I will see that I am nowhere near the person that I once was. And that life is so far removed from mine that it's almost like it's a different person entirely. And kind of in a way it was, a different last name back then. I have a new name. Glory to God. But the thing is that we can, you know, see our future is going to be so different from the way our past was. And we can start making an impact on other people. So, and with the rapture coming so closely, we don't want to waste a minute of it. We need to take advantage of every opportunity. Scripture tells us to take advantage of every single opportunity that's presented to us. And when you're hooked up, vitally connected, not only to one another, but to the head, to the source, then you're going to make a difference, and your people's lives will change in the short little time we have left between now and the time of the rapture of the church, and they'll go with you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we want everybody to go with us. Amen? So, it's imperative to give yourselves holy, to become a living sacrifice, which is truly worship to Him. When you give yourself fully to Him, you are worshiping Him. Body, soul, and spirit. And we can accomplish way more than our imaginations can even comprehend. And we'll look back on it, and it'll be so easy to do. And that's the thing, too, is when in hindsight you think, oh, wow, that was actually easy because I listened to God. I will tell you, I'm going to tell you this really quick because we just have a few extra minutes before we close. But, you know, and I've shared this before, and as you could kind of hear in the way I talked, you know, I have divorce in my life. And there was each of those divorces was because I was doing what I wanted. I was allowing my flesh and my mind to rule my decisions. And when I made a change, and I went before the Lord, I can remember where I was. I can remember, you know, I can't remember the day, but I remember kind of the time frame of the day. You know, it was in the evening. It was after dark. It was in the winter time. I remember being in my, it was like January probably, in my bedroom and so heartbroken over all the things, all the ways that I had disappointed God, and all the things that I had just done on my own. And I just said, I am done making decisions about my romantic life. I am done making decisions that are not your decisions. I only want what you want for me going forward in that realm. And when I made that decision, it didn't happen overnight. That was in January probably of 2005. I met him I met him in November of 2007. So it didn't happen overnight. But the thing was, is I didn't change my mind. I had a few dates in there, and I tell you what, on the first date, every single time, on the first day, I knew this was not God's plan. And I would just, that's it. They're not going to spend and waste any of my time with someone who was not according to God's plan. And you know what? The reason I could see that they weren't according to God's plan is because I had hooked up with the head. And he was telling me, it's not the one. And there was one person that I accepted a date from that I didn't actually go out with because by the time came, I already knew he wasn't going to be the one. I'm sorry. I don't want to go. I've changed my mind. I wasn't ever going to see him again. I didn't care. So, you know, and so you could tell. And instantly, my life changed in the way that I saw dating, the way that I saw people in my life, you know. I wasn't constantly looking for someone to, you know, to take loneliness away from me. I was looking for the one that God had for me, period. And so there he was in a Southern Baptist church, hard to believe. He was in a Southern Baptist church in the pulpit in 2007, and I didn't like him in the least. That's a whole other story. But eventually, and the thing is that when I made that decision and I wanted to follow his plan, everything else became easy. It was the best, you know, 2.5 long years of dating before we were married. It was easy. He's shaking his head. Here she goes again with this 2.5 years nonsense. No, we did everything in God's timing, and it was perfect, and it was easy, and it is the best story ever. And God showed up so many times in the time that we were dating, in the time that we got engaged, in the time that we were married, and every day since. And the thing is that's just one aspect of my life. There are so many other aspects of my life that I've turned myself over to God, where I have said, I want your will, not mine. And that's what we have to do, even when it comes to just every single day, not silly stuff. Every decision that we make, I want your will. What's your will, Lord? What would you have me do in this situation? And when we do that, then we have completely transformed our minds, and we've completely transformed our bodies as a whole, body, soul, and spirit, to the will of God. And that's what he wants. That's what he desires. That's what we do when we accept Jesus, and our lives could not be better. I can't tell you a single time that I've ever regretted making that decision at any point in my life. Glory to God. And you won't either. And you won't either. So if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you have not made his will your will, if you have not asked him to dwell within you with the Holy Spirit, then you can do that today. So let's just do it today. Glory to God. Let's all pray together. And just repeat after me. If you want to make Jesus your Lord, this is the time. Let's just do it right now. Heavenly Father, I come before you today, a sinner destined for hell. I ask you to forgive me, to make me a new creation in you. I make Jesus my Lord. He is my Savior. Thank you for giving me eternal life with you. I commit my life to you, spirit, body, and soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you made that decision just now, see us after service. We want to celebrate with you. You know, all of heaven rejoices for every person who comes to know Christ. And we want to rejoice right along. We'll rejoice without, you know, it'll be good. The whole body or just even us, we want to rejoice. If you are watching online and you prayed that prayer with your heart and you accepted Jesus just now, let us know. Send us a private message and let us know. We want to rejoice with you there too. Glory to God. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Glory. Amen.